Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network for Tuesday, April the 25th. If you're wondering what year we're in, it's 2023. Hopefully, you're writing your checks with 2023 by now. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Doing well. Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And Ray Pritchard. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, I'm doing good, Tim. How are you this morning?
Springtime in Kansas City.
Oh, baby, it's sunny. It's bright and sunny. We're going up to about 65, 66 today. So I think pretty good bike riding weather today.
All right, well, and you're looking forward to it this afternoon,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Yes, you got to get out of the house.
Well, appreciate everybody listening. If you want to watch this show, you go to Facebook Live and just type in Today's Issues. Or you can go to our streaming service, our live video streaming service, which is streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. And a lot of good stuff there, too, if you just, it takes you about 1 minute to sign up. And then you can have access to all our shows, live video streaming there at streaming.afa.net. We got Dr. Frank Turek coming up in just a little while. Sandy Rios will be with us as well this hour. So we look forward to having those guests on. Chris, breaking news.
Yes, there's something.
We need some breaking news music. I don't know. Huh?
Bump it up, bump.
Okay. Maybe Sweet Home Alabama. The first this is Sweet Home Alabama. It will be our breaking news theme. How about that, Brent? Look into that. Go ahead.
In Birmingham, they love the governor.
Yes. Go ahead.
There you go. There's a concerning story on FoxNews.com, especially for anybody that's been paying any amount of attention to the World Health Organization for these past 3 years. On FoxNews.com at the moment, there is a WHO official, World Health Organization official, sounding the alarm after fighters in Sudan reportedly seize lab with samples of deadly viruses.
That wasn't the breaking news I was talking about. If you want to talk about deadly viruses, go ahead, though.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, it wasn't. But anyway, that is breaking news.
What? Wait a minute. All right. What are we doing with a lab in Sudan, of all places, with deadly viruses?
Why is there one in Wuhan, China?
Okay. All right. Duly noted.
Yes. Well, man. I haven't read the story.
I can read it.
This serious.
I'll share the link, too, on our Facebook page. The World Health Organization representative in Sudan reportedly warned Tuesday of a, quote, high risk of biological hazard after one of the sides fighting in the conflict seized a central public laboratory with samples of measles and polio, creating an extremely, extremely dangerous situation. This is Dr. Nima Said Abid, who is assigned to the post of WHO representative in Sudan effective August 4th, 2020. And he addressed reporters in Geneva, Switzerland via video link.
Let me ask you this, Ray. You travel the world, and I'm not saying you're an expert on Africa, but it just seems like we had these endless civil wars all over the continent.
Well, you've got tribal differences, right? I mean, that's all over the continent of Africa, and that's part of it. Then you've got these religious warfares breaking out that turn into political battles. And roughly speaking, in Sudan, you've got Islamic rule up in the north, and down in South Sudan, that was created primarily to be a Christian state. And yet it has descended now, Tim, it has descended into something close to anarchy and near total chaos. And they're trying to get American citizens out of it. You saw where, some branch of the Navy SEALs was in there to help get some of our diplomatic people out. So it's truly a mess. And can you imagine breaking into a lab if you're the bad guys, the criminals, the terrorists, and suddenly you've got samples of measles and polio, what you could do to your enemies. This is just a terrible, terrible health disaster waiting to happen.
Hmm. Well, this is breaking news. I saw this on FoxNews.com. Mm-hmm.
CBS has something as well.
Okay, we'll have to wait and see, I guess, later on in the day. if there's more information available. The breaking news I was talking about was Joe Biden, the president of the United States, announcing he's going to run again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So do that breaking news for us.
Okay. Bum-ba-dum-bum.
There you go.
All right. Despite concerns about his mental health and really? Stumbling around and whatnot, the Associated Press and other news outlets do have stories today that Biden is announcing his 2024 reelection bid. Mm-hmm. He announced this in a pre-recorded video rather than a live audience standing behind him to cheer when he wanted them to.
Not a good sign.
No, it is not.
If you're already pre-recording.
Yeah, the guy who spent 2020 in the basement has a pre-recorded message.
Your announcement to run again. Fred, what do you think about all this?
Well, in this videotape announcement this morning, the theme was, we need to finish the job.
Before I die.
Yeah. And I said, yeah, you need to finish off the country. That's your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing. You know, when he went in going back to 2000 and I guess 1920, whatever the case may, he was going to bring the country together. Now, the country is more divided than ever.
Yeah.
Plus, on top of this, you've got a whole pile of Democrats in recent polling who say, we really don't want him to run again. If he is elected, he'll be 82, which means he would finish off the second term at 86 years of age. Now look at the country, and he says he's doing great things, and he wants another 4 years to, as he puts it, finish the job. Okay, where are we with the economy? Just put a story on our website, AFN, just a few minutes ago. Consumer confidence continues to fall. Why is that? People are paying a whole lot more for groceries, paying a whole lot more for gas. That's just one thing. But look at the turmoil that's going on in this country. Look what he... And if there's nothing else, this one thing that really should bother, especially our Christian audience, and that's abortion. This president, this party, is all in on abortion up to and including the birth date of that little baby. They are fighting for this. They want to punish states that are trying to put limits in place against abortion. They want to punish those states. So that one issue alone. This is what Joe Biden wants to do. He wants abortion available across the board, and he wants to punish people who fight for the life of the unborn. I think it's horrible.
I'm surprised. I don't know. I'm a little surprised that he made this announcement now. Maybe he felt like he had to respond to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announcing last week he was going to run against Biden on the Democratic side. But I don't know. I guess, Ray, that the Democrats are between a rock and a hard place on the presidential side because they really have no one in waiting. By that, I mean, they, you know, to use a sports metaphor, there's no ace warming up in the bullpen for them. They don't have one.
They don't have a deep bench at all.
No.
So that's why you got a guy like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. who steps in and offers himself. And they're defending against Kennedy by simply saying there's going to be no debates, right?
Yeah, no debates.
No debates. No debates.
Well, though. Biden can't debate. I'm sorry. He can't. He could barely do it last time. He did an adequate job in his debates against President Trump. I'm not talking about his belief system. I'm talking about just his ability to stay on stage. And he had very low expectations, if you remember, and he was able to get through it without harming himself too badly. I'm talking about during the debates with Trump. So, but it's not a good situation for the Democrats if you're going to have to count on Biden as your candidate. Now, I had when this news broke about an hour ago, I got a text from a friend of mine, and I'll just tell you what it says and get your reaction to this, okay? He says, this is just one person's opinion, okay? So he says, I don't see how he can debate talking about Biden.
Mm-hmm.
If Trump is the nominee, then Biden says he doesn't debate criminals. If DeSantis is the nominee, Biden's goose is cooked. Now, talking about a debate situation, not that who knows how Trump would fare, who knows how DeSantis would fare against Biden, but you've got to think of the guy in his 40s who's, you know what I'm saying, a governor of a big state would be able to do well in a debate situation against an older fella who has a hard time communicating and thinking clearly.
Yeah.
Now, Trump's a sort of a freak of nature right now because he himself, by freak of nature, I mean in a good way, in terms of his seems like he's in pretty good health is what I'm saying. Who knows?
For a guy his age.
For a guy his age. That's what I'm saying. Now, Trump himself, you know, he's going to be 77 coming up in June.
Right.
So he's no spring chicken either. And we see what happens to a lot of people between the ages of 75 and 85. We human beings at that age seem to start on the decline.
Well, especially in the job of
president. I'm talking about mentally and able to.
But we're talking about president of the United States.
I just offended a whole bunch of people. Go ahead.
We're talking about the job of president of the United States.
We're not.
We're not talking about the leader
of the free world.
Yes, we're not talking about a guy running a little corner store.
Right.
We're talking about the president of the United States.
Yeah.
And, I think that what whoever is on the top of the ticket, and it's going to be Joe Biden, he is going to be protected by the mainstream media. Now, reporters amongst themselves may say, oh, my goodness, you know, not another 4 years of Joe Biden. But when it comes to write their stories, they are all in on the Democratic Party agenda. They really don't. I don't think for the most part the media cares all that much about who the figurehead is running at the top of the Democratic Party ticket. What a lot of people thought, I believe we talked about this at our story meeting, a lot of people thought that the Democrats felt that they could fool the American people because Joe Biden is this old guy. He was perceived as a moderate compared to Bernie Sanders and some of the others that are on the ticket. So we're going to put Joe in there, but Joe Biden has proven he's every bit of a leftist radical as there can be. He's all the climate change agenda is far, far left. His economic agenda is far, far left.
Yeah.
The problem that Joe Biden is going to have this time is, coming into it, he had the media on his side. We didn't have a record. But now we've got 4 years of Joe Biden. We understand where he's taken this country. And so that's why all these polls are saying, what is it, an NBC poll last week?
Yeah, over Americans don't want him to run for president.
Over 70% of Americans say the country's on the wrong track.
Well, and that's why I don't know. Hey, let's bring in Dr. Frank Turek into this conversation. Frank, good morning, Brother Frank.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'll add my
vote
that we're on the wrong track. How's that? Isn't that an insightful comment?
Well, you mean as a country?
Yeah.
You mean because of multiple reasons, but you think President Biden is taking us on the wrong track?
Well, I don't know if he's doing it because I don't know how much decision making he's. I mean, how many times have you seen him go, oh, they told me I can't say that?
I know.
I know.
Go ahead.
The biggest issue for me anyway right now is the fact that he thinks it's a good thing to mutilate children.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean transgender craze?
So he's really promoting that in his
Yeah, well, he promoted it a year ago when he said that the government may come take your children from you if you don't give them so-called gender-affirming care, which is a euphemism for either getting them cross-sex hormones or literal surgery to try and change something that can't be changed. You cannot change your biology. You can't do it. Sorry. It's impossible. We might as well be given anorexic liposuction and claiming that's anorexic-affirming care. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Hey, let's play this clip. Fred, you got related to what Frank's talking about here.
Yeah.
Let's play this clip.
It was Joe Biden at the White House, an event honoring teachers. I want you to listen.
When was this, yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yesterday. Okay. I want you to listen very carefully about what he has to say as to who owns your children. Listen to this, folks. Cut number two.
Rebecca put a teacher's creed into words when she said, there's no such thing as someone else's child. No such thing as someone else's child. our nation's children are all our children.
We ought to be very scared, because what I interpret from that is that he believes the state owns your kids, not you, mom and dad.
Yeah, that statement in and of itself, I don't find particularly offensive, unless you know the philosophy behind what he's talking about.
Yes.
His idea, right? What his ideology.
Right, right.
Because we are all one country, and we all want the best for our children, and so. But what he's talking about is something different, right, Ray?
Well, we've all heard it takes a village to raise a kid. It's true. It's true. We all want to help the kids around us.
Right.
But he means something else.
Right.
I think he means something like the state owns the children of this nation. That's a terrifying thought. But, Fred, as you said, that's the way. That apparently is the governing belief of the administration in Washington.
Well, and we saw this on display, because we're not really just speculating out of thin air here. We saw what happened in Virginia when parents showed up to complain about what their kids were being taught in school. Joe Biden's attorney general, Merrick Garland, wrote a letter referring to those parents as domestic terrorists. That's the attitude of this Biden administration.
Yeah.
We own your children, and you have no right, mom and dad. You have no right, mom and dad, to say what's on the library shelves in your schools.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray, and Dr. Frank Turek is with us. Frank, what's your website and what's there?
Crossexamined.org. There's a lot of great stuff there on why Christianity's true and how to defend it. But let me add something to what Fred had said about children. I think this really goes back to the Marxist worldview. The Marxist worldview says the state is eternal, and all the individuals then are here to serve the state, where the Christian worldview says the individual is eternal and the state isn't. See, this is why when you have this Marxist leftist worldview, you think individuals are expendable. They just exist to somehow perpetuate the eternal state, the eternal government. Whereas, of course, Christianity, we believe, no, individuals are eternal, and governments don't exist in eternity. It's individuals that do, because, of course, the government in eternity is going to be Jesus.
Hey, man. Hey, I want to you got another clip for us, Chris?
I do. I have related to our discussion about faith in the Christian worldview here, there is a new poll out from the Wall Street Journal and NORC, which does polls with the AP and a number of other news outlets, and they find that the happiest people are people of faith. And since we have you on, and Ray would be good here too, let's start with Frank. What is it about Christianity that makes people happy and gives people hope?
Because when you say hope, you're talking about not just temporal hope, but eternal hope. If there is no God, there is no ultimate hope. We just die and that's it. It's over. But if God really exists and Jesus came and really died and rose again and says, not only am I resurrected, but one day you will be, then you have eternal hope, and you also have the realization, knowing that everything that occurs here on earth ripples forward to affect not only time but eternity. So things do matter here now, and they don't matter if there is no God. And I know this is kind of paradoxical to think about. I think C.S. Lewis had mentioned this as well, that if you just aim at earth, you're not going to get much out of it. But if you aim at heaven, you'll get earth thrown in. Why is that? Because if you believe in eternity and you believe what we do here affects eternity, you might sacrifice some of your wants, needs, and desires to help other people because you know this goes on into eternity. But if you don't think so, if you think everything just ends at the grave, you might run over other people to get what you want now because this is all you got. There's nothing after this. So in other words, believing in eternity helps you realize that you can sacrifice some of your desires to help other people because you know there is an eternity to look forward to.
Ray, just going off there what Frank's talking about, I saw that survey last night centered around, who was the survey done by, Chris?
Wall Street Journal, NORC.
Okay. And basically what I got was, and I've seen this repeatedly, you know, in studies down through the years, that oftentimes they say religious people, by that most of the time they mean Christians, are the most content, are the happiest. I don't know what other word to use.
With what? Cheeriest, it says.
Cheeriest.
It comes from the UK, Tim. They're cheery. Cheeriest. Yes.
And have your Cheerios, you cheery man, with a cheery on top.
You've got a strong cheek.
I'm good at this. I really am. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ray. Talk about why does this fit in with what the Bible says?
You know, everything Frank said is so important. The difference between time and eternity. Live for this world, die with this world. Live for eternity. You'll be happy now, and you'll still be happy 10,000 times 10,000 years from now. But, you know, there's another side of this, too, just the here and now part of it. There's an old-time gospel song. We don't sing much anymore, but it starts with these lines. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And, you know, there's a truth there. Christianity is not a religious social club. Christianity is a religion of conversion. What we say to people is, no matter who you are, where you are, or what you've done, or what a mess you've made of your life, you can change. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creation. He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And I'm not surprised that people who know the Lord are cheery in the midst of pain and suffering and sadness and all the confusion of the world around us, because they've discovered life eternal that begins now and continues throughout eternity. And I just want to say to any of our listeners, because this is not just a theoretical point, it's to the truth. If you're looking for a new life, I can tell you where you can find one. If you're looking for a new start, let me encourage you, come to Jesus Christ. Give your heart to him. You can be converted. Your life can change, and you'll still be glad you did 10,000 times 10,000 years from now.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, Brother Frank, what you got coming up this weekend? Do you know yet?
Yes. Well, we just recorded a show that is airing on our podcast, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. What is the True Meaning of Life? People may want to tune into that on the podcast. Then this weekend on the American Family Radio Network, we're going to talk about the resurrection with scholar Justin Bass, who's very good at this topic. And, of course, if there is a resurrection, Christianity's true. If there was no resurrection, it's false. So our entire faith hinges on that issue. And I need to point out one other thing. This just came across. This is breaking news. I don't know if you saw this on the Babylon Bee, Tim.
Yeah, go ahead. What?
Aaron Rodgers retires from professional football to play with the New York Jets.
As a Dolphins fan, I wholeheartedly agree.
Oh, that's funny. That's the Jets haven't been relevant since 1969.
That's right. See, I don't. Namath may let him wear 12. We'll see.
Joe Namath.
Uh-huh.
You have to go back that far.
He is the first former Jeopardy host to be signed by the Jets, though.
That's right.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a short break. Thank you, Ray. Excuse me. Thank you, Frank.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Take care.
Ray, I want to thank you, too, but I want you to stay.
I'm going to hang around.
Okay, I was bidding adieu to Frank. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days, we've been banned twice. And is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day. Banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like today's issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness. And may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stern. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Tucker Carlson has been let go by Fox News Channel. It is a major earthquake in the cable news industry, and especially for the number one conservative news channel in the country. Carlson is the most popular host by far on the channel and had the largest audience of the entire network. His departure is a bombshell that could very well impact the future stability of the channel. Carlson's departure comes just a few days after firebrand Dan Bongino was let go. The official word was that contract negotiations had broken off. The high-profile departures coming after Fox was forced to pay a nearly $800 billion settlement to Dominion Voting Systems. Now, it's unclear whether Tucker will jump to another network like Newsmax or if he'll go digital like former Fox News host Megyn Kelly. But the bigger question of the day, who is next on the Fox News chopping block? Stay tuned, America. I'm Todd Stearns.
Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, 23 and 24.
American Family Radio.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward and Ray Pritchard. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Sandy Rios will be with us in just a few minutes, so we look forward to visiting with Sandy. I'm not a beer drinker, but if I were, that's the beginning of a country song, isn't it?
I was saying, just thought that.
Well, most but country songs would be, I am a beer drinker. But Bud Light would be off the menu. And they, listen to this, I saw this last night. Bud Light, you know, they are the ones who put the transgendered person on their beer can, that Dylan
Mulvaney.
We've all seen and read about this. It's a dude who dresses up like a girl, and he's getting a lot of attention across the country in celebrity circles and pop culture. Anyway, when Bud Light decided to put Dylan Mulvaney on their beer cans and celebrate transgenderism, there was a big reaction among the people who consume Bud Light, and they are down, their sales now in the last couple, 3 weeks are down 17%.
Yes.
Their value of their stock, I guess this is just Budweiser in general, which is a behemoth of a company. I would guess they would probably be the largest beer company in the world, I would guess. I don't know who would be bigger. But anyway, their stock value is down $5 billion. It was. I don't know if that's still true or not. But But I do know I saw last night their sales are down 17%.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to give some companies pause going forward, which is a good thing, Fred, on whether they want to push political agendas with their product and risk losing millions of customers.
Now, I know the person who works for Anheuser who suggested this has been put on leave, I think.
Yes.
And also her supervisor, now we understand.
Yeah, two senior executives, they have been described as.
But to me, I thought the business of a business is to run a business, not to be politically correct. I just can't imagine Anheuser-Busch officials sitting around a table and being sold the idea, if we put this dude
right
on our beer cans
and celebrate transgenderism, that's a great thing for other
the American people are just going to, our beer drinkers, I'm not a beer drinker.
Right.
But our beer drinkers are going to love this. They're going to love to see a dude on the can.
I don't think stockholders understand it either, right? I mean, what's going on with this?
Well, if you think of beer drinkers, particularly Bud Light, they, you know, less filling, tastes great. You know, back in the day, remember John Madden coming busting through the
right.
Remember that? And they had athletes and they had a certain image, and it was hugely successful. This was a transparently political move by this woman and whoever her supervisor was that has cost their own company billions of dollars. Talk about misreading the room. I mean, you've seen these in the last few days, Tim. These country singers like John Rich and others have come up and they've smashed the Bud Light cans on stage like the worst possible advertising for a company. Besides the question of this woman who was behind it, who approved this?
I know.
Mm-hmm. What was the committee thinking? They had what was maybe the most popular light beer brand in the world. I don't really know, but it was way up there, right?
Yeah.
They threw all of that away for the false god of political correctness. What a dumb thing to do.
I can tell you asked who approved this. It was the marketing division there at Bud Light or Anheuser-Busch, the parent company.
Bunch of woke yuppies.
The person that signed off on it initially was Alyssa Heinerscheid. She's the one that took the leave of absence. And then her boss, Daniel Blake, also stepped back from his job.
Saw where Maybelline's hooking up with Dylan Mulvaney too.
Yes, that's the cosmetic company.
Yeah, the makeup.
And what's Dylan Mulvaney has done like TikToks and things on Twitter and Facebook or whatnot, where he is putting on makeup and giving tips and stuff like that. It's very obvious that he's a dude. I mean, you can tell he's a dude, but like he's got a mustache and he's sitting there like putting. You can tell he's got like 5 o'clock shadow while he's putting on base or whatever that's called. I mean, it's just
who are we talking about here?
Dylan Mulvaney, the dude.
You know, the transgender person.
Brother.
Maybelline signed him up.
Nike, the Nike division. He's got ads where he's prancing around in their athletic, merchandise for women.
Yeah, yeah. Now I imagine this Maybelline connection was already in the works. Obviously, it's been in the works a long time. And they may not have stopped it even. Now, I don't think – who knows whether Maybelline customers care about this or not. But Bud Light commercial customers obviously do.
Tim, we have some of the best Facebook commenters in the world. And somebody – I just got to find this. Somebody just posted this on our Facebook who's listening to this discussion. If they want to boost sales, put Tucker Carlson on the can and they won't be able to keep it in stock.
That's a good point. Budweiser needs to listen to them.
Hey, while these people are away on a leave of absence, lean in that boardroom and pitch that idea.
That's right.
Yeah, so Tucker Carlson, where's he going, Fred?
Well, I understand he was being paid about $20 million a year.
Is that all?
So,
you mean before he
before he made the exit yesterday.
Yeah. Was he fired or did he resign?
Well, here's the
Sandy knows a lot about this. We'll get to her.
Yeah, the word is there was he was upset about a 60 Minutes segment I guess aired last Sunday, that they 60 Minutes had this guy Ray Epps on,
yeah,
who Tucker Carlson has talked about on his show, and I'm going to paraphrase here, Tucker Carlson making the allegation that Epps was kind of a plant to incite people
to go into the Capitol January 6th.
Yes, all right. Epps denies that, and he says, you know, his life has been threatened. I think he said he's had to sell his house, all of that sort of thing. Apparently, what Tucker Carlson wanted to do in the wake of that 60 Minutes segment, Tucker Carlson wanted to come back and refute what Epps had to say to 60 Minutes. And the network, Fox Network, said, no, we're not going to let you do that. And so there was that disagreement, and Tucker Carlson said, fine, I'm leaving. That is one report. I don't know that to be the absolute truth, but that's what I'm reading. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, of course, Fox just settled with Dominion, the voting machine company, and Fox wrote them a check for nearly $800 million.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You know, that makes you speculate. Does that have anything to do with this? I don't think, pardon me for coughing, I don't think a settlement, we'd have to ask a lawyer on this, a settlement between Fox and Dominion would include, okay, you fire Tucker Carlson.
No.
Because that would have to, that's really not the business of Dominion. Unless Fox wanted to say, hey, we'll fire Tucker Carlson if you'll reduce the amount of money you want us to write you a check for.
No, and I don't think...
Again, I'm guessing.
In the case of the Dominion machine issue, the voting machine issue, there were a number of Fox hosts that questioned whether the Dominion machines had a fix-in. So I don't think it was just Tucker Carlson.
Well, I don't know if they questioned. Did they question it? Or they? I mean...
Allegations were made.
Yeah.
You know, that...
That you know, machines... that was such a foggy few weeks for us.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking about post-election 2022. Because there were some things that were obviously needed to be questioned in terms of the election.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, the rumors flying were that Dominion machines were, which many states use for voting, were
right,
were somehow being controlled out of Italy or remember these?
And there was something about Colombia in there, right? I mean, there were some
yes,
and there's something about Germany, something about Italy, something about Colombia. I mean, your point is there was a whole lot of stuff flying around there in November and December.
Evidently, okay, folks, don't throw things at me. Okay, let's have a rational conversation here. Evidently, Fox couldn't prove that Dominion was used to steal the election for Joe Biden.
That's correct.
Okay, is that fair to say?
That is fair to say.
Okay. They couldn't prove it.
That's right.
Now, I don't want to get into this. I don't want to relive this whole thing, but I was more concerned with these ballots that were counted, that were mail-in ballots.
Yes.
though, to me, that was where the more likelihood of fraud was going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dominion machines, quite frankly, they're in Republican and Democrat states. Prior to 2020, I don't think I'd ever heard anybody say, oh, Dominion voting machines are rigged for the Democrats. Maybe I missed something there, but I think that these, you know, mail-in ballots all across America, the verification of such, that was the real problem. And I think a lot of the states have cleaned that up.
Yes.
I really do.
They're cutting back. They're putting restrictions on absentee ballots. You have to be able to prove that you are a registered voter.
Georgia cleaned theirs up.
Yes.
We had some... I don't know about Pennsylvania yet, but and people say, well, the election will be stolen again. Well, you don't know that until after the fact, okay? You don't. We really won't know if any shenanigans go on to after the fact. Go ahead.
I did find, and I shared this link just now, the LA Times yesterday said that Carlson's exit is related to a discrimination lawsuit filed by somebody named Abby Grossberg, and they included a link to which opens up another LA Times article that claims this Grossberg person claims she was bullied and subjected to what they called sexist and anti-Semitic comments while working as head of booking for Tucker's show. So it may not be Dominion related.
Yeah, who knows? I just know this. Tucker Carlson was their cash cow.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And now he's out. So it must have been something serious. It was something serious between Tucker Carlson and Fox News. Because, I mean, neither one of them would have wanted to end the relationship. They were all making too much money.
That's for sure.
Tucker Carlson was making $20 million a year?
That's what I figure that I...
Anytime you want to pay me that, Tim, I am
willing. You'll go for half that.
I will make your popcorn and pick up your dry cleaning. I will stripe this parking lot. I will ride a bicycle to Kansas and high-five Ray Pritchard.
I'm liking it.
Oh, wow.
It's my shot.
So Tucker Carlson's not good. He's not going to miss a house note.
No.
He might now.
Okay.
But.
Good night. $20 million a year. That's on the level of a top professional athlete. I guess he had 3 million viewers a night, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He was cleaning up something like the ratings. Yeah.
People that didn't like him watched his show because they wanted to find out what he talked about so they could angry tweet it. So he was even getting the people that can't stand him.
I do think he was hugely popular because he would talk about a lot of stories that other reporters.
Yes, a very original investigation.
Yeah. And I remember when he started at CNN 25, 30 years ago with a bow tie.
Yeah.
And he was
Carville.
I think he was on Crossfire. Mm-hmm. Remember back when that show was on. Anyway, still looks youthful. I don't know how old he is. I'm guessing 50, something like that. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray, and we're joined now by Sandy Rios. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for American Family Association, so she represents our ministry in our nation's capital, and she's also host of Sandy Rios' 24/7 podcast, which you can find at AFR.net, Sandy Rios' 24/7 podcast. Sandy podcast about three times a week on AFR.net. It's very easy to access. Just go to AFR.net and click on podcast, and you'll find it very easily. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim and gang.
Hey there.
Hey, what do you know or what do you want to say about Tucker Carlson's situation?
Well, let me just start with this. You just mentioned Crossfire before I joined you. I could tell you something interesting about that. I used to be on Crossfire a lot. We used to record at George Washington University in their auditorium with a live audience, and the show itself was live. And so Tucker was – so they had two hosts. One was on the left and one was on the right. So James Carville or Paul Begala would be the people on the left, and Tucker was the one on the right. And later, I was on so often, I actually hosted Crossfire – with Paul Begala several times, which was very fun. But Tucker, of course, was just a, as you said, young guy in a bow tie. But even then, Tim, he was very insightful, just very insightful and hilarious. He was so funny. I'll tell you, one night we, this is probably the catalyst for why they asked me to host. I can't go into all of it. Let me just say this story involves Franklin Graham, Tucker Carlson, James Carville, and Islam.
Okay. Well,
we were having this heated discussion, and Franklin was on the big screen behind. They always had another guest on this huge screen behind our heads that you could see on, the audience could see. And this night it was Franklin, but it wasn't Franklin in person. It was quote, and it was about how Islam was an evil and wicked religion. And this was right after, not far after 9/11. So James Carville was a nasty fellow, if people don't know who he was. He was very hard to debate because he never told the truth. James would just, I'd been with him before on several different, because I used to be on all the networks. I debated a ton in those days. And he would just start out with a lie and then say five more before the host ever, you know, gave you a chance to speak. So I would try to say, but you said that's not true, and I try to say why. Well, while I was trying to say why that wasn't true, James would tell four or five more lies. It was just impossible. It's like a circle saw. The blades just kept coming. And so I finally reckoned this time on Crossfire that I would try to, I would just think differently about this and not fall into that trap. So when James asked me a question about Franklin's comment, asked if I agreed, and I said, I do, he exploded on live television. He exploded, started cursing, using the worst kinds of profanity that I'm not going to say. And I'm looking at him, and I notice, like, he's like foaming at the, he's foaming. And I said, James, you're dripping, you're drooling. And I handed him my cup. And then he really exploded, and Tucker is just laughing. I mean, he is laughing so hard. It was like a, it was a real moment. If it was, the next day, actually, Rush Limbaugh was calling me the CWA babe after that encounter. But, yeah.
but I found the link to all this.
Oh, you did? Okay,
I did. Shared it.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, anyway, so that's how I got to know Tucker. And through the years, I have seen him just, he always was smart and funny, but as we all do, he has matured, and I think I've seen faith in him that I never heard him express during that time. Just incredible. I just feel like there's no way he could take the positions he takes without really understanding deeply who God is. And he comes short of saying it, but he says it. The firing, whatever. My understanding, and you probably already talked about this, is that he refused to not. He was going to be talking about the
Ray Epps
story that was on CBS on Sunday. He was going to refute it, and they demanded that they told him they just prohibited him from doing that, and he said he was not going to comply. So that's the story, but I honestly think there's probably a lot more to it, Tim.
Yeah, probably more to it. I mean, there's a lot of things that are behind the scenes that are not talked about. So that's why you never know. You know, and I'll just say this: there's always two sides to a story, right?
Yes.
So Tucker, maybe one day will share his experience. I'm sure Fox News has their own reason. As I was saying, it's stupid for a business decision. Just looking at it without knowing any information of why, you would just say Tucker Carlson is a big financial boom, a cash cow, called him for Fox News. Why would you fire him unless there's something we don't know? And you know, I read the rumor that Rupert Murdoch wanted to sell Fox News, and They're more appealing without Tucker Carlson. I don't know why you would think that, except that some people view him as, I don't. I'm a fan. But I mean, some people view him as too radioactive or divisive in a business model. But again, I appreciate Tucker Carlson. We'll see where he lands. I'm sure he'll do fine in making. He'll do a podcast, or he'll do go on some other network.
I was thinking,
Sandy, you know, Don Lemon got fired yesterday from CNN, and I'm thinking, you know, in the sports world, maybe this is a trade coming. Maybe Don Lemon goes to Fox, Tucker Carlson goes to CNN.
And a personality to be named.
And a personality to be named later.
The kind of understatement of the century and so unfortunate thing is that Fox has given him the platform, and he has become really and truly an arbiter of really hard truth. And he tells it every night. And I actually think that Tucker was kind of the Rush Limbaugh of his time. And I'm not, he's not dead yet. But Tucker was kind of like the clarion call, the prophet, speaking forth truth, not telling future.
He'll land somewhere. He'll still have an audience. I mean, it won't be long, I don't think. Somewhere, some media outlet or his own or whatever the case may be, he'll be fine. But I hope
you're right.
Well, you know what? Right, and also, I would caution people about saying that Fox News is over.
because Tucker Carlson is gone, not so fast, because Fox News, you know, when Bill O'Reilly was canned,
right?
Well, that's it for Fox News, and then they found, I don't know if it was Laura or they found Laura Ingraham or Tucker Carlson. I think it was Tucker Carlson who
moved into that
Megyn
spot.
Kelly.
Megyn Kelly came and went. Bill O'Reilly came and went. Well, Bill O'Reilly had the number one show for many years, and then Tucker Carlson came over. So it wouldn't surprise me if Fox News found somebody else that could, you know, that could draw a huge audience, because they do have a proven record of doing that.
I have ideas on who.
What are your ideas, Chris?
I think they
will start the rumor mill right here.
I think they will name one of the three people to fill in for Tucker: Clay Travis, Kaylee McEnany, or Joe Contra, who was on there 25 hours a day, 8 days a week.
Well, the thing,
here's this Snoopy cloud. We have to understand that Fox has already moved to the left. They had done that before we realized it. They actually, when we first became aware of it, was really election night of 2020. Mm-hmm. When the coverage that they did of the election was dishonest and manipulative. And so that's when they first started losing, and then their editorial board changed. If you listen to Fox News Radio, the news from Fox, it is just like CNN or CBS. There's no difference. It's really far to the left. And remember that Rupert Murdoch is an older man who has two sons. One of them is very far away from his politics. Well, Rupert is not a conservative. Rupert used the conservative model to make money. He recognized that. He's not an ideologue, kind of like Donald Trump, you know, was or is or whatever. But his kids are ideologues, the two sons. And so they're the ones taking power. Paul Ryan is on the board. Paul, of course, moved to the left a long time ago. You know, he's embraced gay marriage, and I don't know if he's still pro-life or not, but Paul is not a friend to the conservative movement. And there's the suggestion that he's had a lot to do with, I don't know about the firing of Tucker. How would I know? I wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the editorial changes. So there is a trajectory that they're on, and they have been on it for a while. And I don't expect that they'll bring in a real strong look. There are people who talk conservative, but they don't have the courage that Tucker had. They're not going to replace that.
Well. We'll see what happens there. I hate to see Tucker Carlson leave Fox News for all the reasons we talked about the last few minutes. However, you know, Rupert Murdoch and his sons, while not conservatives, at least Rupert Murdoch, it seems to me, did America a great service by bringing Fox News to the fore.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And Fox News has been the number one cable news network in America for, what, 20, 25 years now?
Mm-hmm.
So, he may not have been an ideologue, but he knew, he saw a vacuum and he filled it.
Yes.
Yes.
And now Newsmax has come along, and they do a great job, too. And so there's some competition within the conservative side of things as well right now. Thank you, Sandy. Hey, tell us how we can download your podcast.
You need to go download on your smartphone AFR Talk app, American Family Radio Talk app, and you can get it anytime, day or night. You can also go to Apple or Spotify or any of the podcast platforms. You just Google Sandy Rios 24/7.
Sandy Rios 24/7. A lot of the same kind of news and information and interviews Sandy did on Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR. For 10 years, you will get at Sandy Rios 24/7 on our podcast at AFR.net. My thanks to Sandy this hour, Frank Turek. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.